In the name of Jesus, amen.
So where will the violence pop up next? Who knows? Good question. Disturbing question. Why doesn't God do something about it? Another disturbing question. Why does it seem that evil prospers and goodness is suppressed? Whoever has the best attorney is the one that wins. Where is the justice? All disturbing questions. Not new. It's basically the questions Habakkuk asked in our Old Testament lesson, written some 2,500 years ago. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. So are things worse than they've ever been? Are people worse than they were 100 years ago? 500 years ago? 1,000 years ago? I don't know. I don't know that we can measure that. We all have our own experiences, our own stories, and I'll have to say I haven't met anybody who said, yeah, people I think are getting better, but then again, I haven't met everybody. But remember what we find 6 chapters into the Bible. Six chapters into the book of Genesis. 6 chapters. God was so disgusted with the wickedness of people. People were so bad. God regretted that he had made human beings. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth and it grieved him to his heart. That's bad. That's horrible. We know from other places in the Bible that our God is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. But he recognized that the people were so twisted, there was no untwisting them. They were so wicked, there was no hope of them unwickeding or repenting. And God realized the best thing to do was just to wipe them all out and start over. Genesis 4 and 5, we have some genealogy about people expanding, filling the earth. And there are those who have done some number crunching about people having children and multiplying and all of that. And conservative estimates of the population of the earth at the time of the flood, several million people, conservatively. We will be super duper duper conservative. We'll say the population of the earth was only, let's say, 100,000 at the time of the flood. Worldwide flood, 100,000 people. That's about the population of Bloomington Normal. Out of 100,000 people, how many worship the true God? How many did God save? 8. 8. That's how bad it was. The only ones that were saved were Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives. 8 people total. So are people worse today than they've been? Perhaps. What can help in part to rescue us from a downward spiral of thinking and despair is not whether people are worse than they've been in the past. There's really no way to measure that. But the reality that people have always been bad. People have always been bad. To think that people are somehow worse now, I don't know that we can measure that. And you know, that we are not the center of all history. It's kind of like when people think that, oh, people today are smarter than they used to be. I don't know that we can measure that. Or, you know, you'll hear athletes talk about the greatest of all time. Well, we don't know that. We don't know all the athletes of all time or those yet to come. That's all kind of self-centered. Things don't look good. We can say that. But here's the thing. Things have never looked good. Things have never looked good. The only place where everybody gets along and there is no violence and there is no injustice is in our imagination. The Andy Griffith Show is a TV show. It's not real. There is no Mayberry. There is no place where everybody gets along and everybody there's no problems. And to think that, you know, if we just try hard enough, we can create our own little Mayberry existence is living in a fantasy world. Adam and Eve, first two people, they bumped up against that when one of their sons murdered their other son. That's bad. I don't know any parents who don't have regrets about how they raised their kids, who wish they could go back and do some things over. Adam and Eve, I'm thinking, probably felt the same way. And they could ask the question, where did we go wrong? And they knew the answer to that question. Things went wrong when they disobeyed God. And every family and their family has been devastated since by that. It doesn't look good. And it never has. But here's the thing. Our God comes into that never looking good world. Our God comes into that never looking good world, and he comes into that world with a plan that doesn't look good. In fact, he comes into that world with a plan that looked like complete failure. The only perfect man that ever lived, who loved perfectly, who was truthful in every way, ends up being humiliated and crucified upon a cross. That looked like the victory of evil. Darkness covered the land. People thought, this is horrible. It can't get any worse. That was a picture of evil winning. But what was going on in the midst of that? God was at work. God was carrying out his plan. It didn't look that way, but God was working to save the people of this world, and he did it. And the resurrection of Jesus from the dead makes it so. So it's not a matter of what it looks like. We live by faith and not by sight. And if you would read a little bit further on in the book of Habakkuk, it's a short book, he writes, the righteous shall live by his faith. Well, what's faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, we don't live by what we see. Because there's more to what we see. Things are the way they look. We don't deny that, but that's not the full story. In our second reading, Paul's writing to the young pastor Timothy. He tells Timothy, you know, God has given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Wow. We don't have a spirit of fear as Christians. We don't have we're given a power of love, a spirit of love and power and self-control. Paul was in jail when he wrote that. That didn't look good. And yet Paul says, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me and of my chains, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul says Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. But it doesn't look that way. It doesn't look that way to our eyes. Paul's in prison. He's chained up. He will die for his faith. That doesn't look like victory. But it is, because we worship a God who raises the dead. We worship a God who raises the dead. So let's not get too excited about the news. It's always going to be bad. It always has been. It always will be. That's not where we look for our help and our comfort. It doesn't look good, but it never has. But God doesn't leave us there. He gives us His word that never fails. He gives us a word from Him that gives the possibility of having peace in our hearts, even in the midst of all kinds of craziness surrounding us. He gives us the promise that we can have joy and security in His word, which never fails, which guards and keeps us, which forgives us, which promises us eternal life. And that's something you can anchor into. That's something you can build a life upon. That's something that can help you sleep at night. We follow the pattern of sound words that cannot be destroyed, given to us through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world and takes away your sin. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.